Shalom and good morning. What a joy it is to go through the book of 1 Peter. We are at the tail end and we are at the last session of understanding the grace of God that helps us to stand firm when there is pressure, when there is hostility, for the minority believers that lives within majority non-believers. Now this theme of the church that has gone, that has been scattered among the nations of the world, will be a theme that will also continue next year, God willing. Because that's where we are. We are the minority. In as far as the faith is concerned, in as far as the belief is concerned. And many times because of our faith, we are persecuted, we are seduced, we are challenged by the non-believers because they are surprised that we don't do the things we used to do together. That's what Peter was saying. And for that reason, they put pressure on us, they insult us, they discriminate us, they reject, they hate the believers, they reject them as unworthy. And so we have been asking then, how can you be able to stand firm? So the book of 1 Peter has been so critical to whoever would want to listen. Because it is by the grace of God that gives us security in such an area, in such, when we are pilgrims. It is the grace of God that gives us not only security, but that gives us a way of looking at or to help us to be sober. The grace helps us to be sober is the grace of God that helps us to submit. It is the grace of God that helps us even to suffer faithfully and victoriously. It is the grace of God that helps us to serve even our neighbors. And yesterday or the previous day, we looked at how the elders of the church would be able to serve God by ministering to the people, by managing the people, by mentoring the people, and by modeling the people that God has given them, not because they must, but because they are willing to serve God. And they are not serving people as people, but they serve good people as they are serving God. Now, today, as we finish, we want to Peter speaks to everybody, to church members, how they should respond through the grace of God. And I like it because they're trying to say how the church can respond, or the church relates to her leaders. How does the church relate to her leaders? How does the church relate to her adversary? And how the church relates to the God of grace, and how does the church relate to herself within, as she stands on the grace of God. So Peter says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under the mighty power of God. And at the right time, he will lift you up. He will lift you up. Humble yourself under God. Relate to God by humbling yourself. Relate to the God of grace by giving all your worries and all your cares to God. That's how you relate to the God of grace. Give him, apart from humbling, you give him your worries. Give him your cares. Why? Because he cares about you. The Lord cares about us. Even within this area we are in, God is faithful. He cares about us. Now, how does this charge relate to the enemy? And what? How does the enemy relate to the church? Stay alert. Stay alert. That is quite important. Stay alert and watch out for your great enemy, the devil. You know, the Bible calls him the great enemy. It says, great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. So you see, here is how the church ought to relate to the devil. First of all, is to know that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, and stay alert. Now, stay alert is a military term that helps you to stay knowing that the enemy can do something. He can charge. And so watch out for your great enemy. I think it's good. You know, some people say that you don't need to mind about the enemy. No, the Bible says don't be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. Watch out. The devil, he prowls around. In the book of Job, the Bible says that he goes up and down, to and fro. He is roaming. He is a sauntering spirit. Now this spirit goes up and down, and the spirit has got, this spirit of the enemy, this angel, this evil angel has got an agenda, has got a purpose, has got a mission. And the mission is looking. He is looking for any one of us. He is looking for anyone to devour. I think that's the spirit of the devil. So when even we are out there as a minority believer, let's get to know that the enemy is looking for you to devour. But you should not fear. Fear is not part of our response. Fear is a reaction. But we should be alert. We should watch out for him or for it, and stand firm against, and be strong in your faith. Then says, how do you relate also to yourself? Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering as you are. Now, that remembering that the whole family, your whole family, Peter says, remember that your family, not any other family, your family, that is the family of believers, that's the global family. Knowing what the global family is going through, that knowledge, that remembering also gives you ability to resist the enemy or to stand firm against the enemy. Verse 10 says, that is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. Praise God. So we can only, God's kindness, in his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory. Can you settle in your mind that we have different calls? We have been called to live and follow. We have been called to learn and transform. We have been called to fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ. We have been called to learn and transform others. When he says, go and make disciples of all the nation, that's a call. But Peter also gives another kind of calling. He said, we have been called to share in his eternal glory. This is very critical. And we praise God that we have been called to share. We have been invited to share. The doors open for us. We have an invitation to share God's glory, God's eternal glory. God has got the eternal glory. It doesn't end. The glory of God is there forever and ever. We have been asked to come and share. But we can only do that is by means of Jesus Christ. Let's get to know that we can only share in God's eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ, or through Jesus Christ only. So after you have suffered a little while, he restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. Now, God is not amused. Jesus is not amused. The things that we go through does not come behind him. He knows that we are going through a very difficult time. But he says, he calls it a while. So he said, so after you have suffered a little while. So according to God, the suffering of believers is just a little while. It doesn't go forever. It's a little while. Remember, we've been called to share eternal glory. But before that, because of the opposition of the adversary, the devil, and his agents, we will suffer a little while. But after that, even here on earth, the Bible says he will do three things. Number one, he will restore us. Number one, we shall be restored. Number two, he shall support us. He will support us. Through what we are going through, he will support us to go through victoriously. Number three, he will strengthen us. And number four, he will place you on a firm foundation. Let's our mind settle and thank God for those four things, four actions the Lord will do. He'll restore, he'll support, he'll strengthen, and place us on a firm foundation. All power to him forever and ever. Amen. Peter, in his final greetings, verses 12, he says, I've written and sent this short letter to you with the help of Silas. Now he reminds us again, and we have done this, whom I commend to you as a faithful brother. My purpose in writing is to encourage you and to assure you that what you're experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. Stand firm in this grace. Then he reminds them, your sister church here in Babylon send you greetings, and so does my son Mark. Now, when he says here in Babylon, what was Babylon? We are not told that Peter ever went to Iraq, because Babylon is Iraq. But they were using pseudonyms to hide the identity because of the persecution. The name Babylon was given to Rome. So Peter would look at what the church was going through, and it compares to what the church was going through then when they were in Babylon. And so he says, he calls it Babylon. So it's good for the church going through persecution to use pseudonyms to hide its identity, so that the enemy may not know what you're talking about. But is that church in Babylon, that is in Rome, where Peter was, sends greetings. So he says, so does my son Mark. He considers Mark as his son. Then he says, greet each other with a kiss of love. Peace be with all of you who are in Christ. Father, we are grateful that the peace of God will remain with all those who are in Christ Jesus. Peace, shalom, shall be with those who are in Christ Jesus, because Christ is the great Prince of Peace. Help us not to leave the Prince of Peace. That is our firm foundation. Thank you for promising that you are going to support us, that you are going to encourage us, that you are going to strengthen us, that you are going to restore us, and you are going to make us stand on firm foundation. Be exalted today and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.